When I was asked if I would preach here again, I said, yeah, no problem. And more or less instantly, I knew what I was going to bring, which is not always the case. Sometimes I do it on the morning before I go anywhere. I leave it that late, if you know what I mean. But I knew what I was going to do straight away, and God hasn't changed my mind, so that's what I'm going to bring this morning. I'm hopefully this scripture will encourage you and may even turn around your thinking or your circumstances. You know, it's all about God's transforming salvation. God is in the business of turning bad situations into good ones. He's still in that business, and we, God's children, have access to God's transforming power and blessings in our lives and our families and our jobs and our homes and our churches. And this reading we're going to look at tells us that God is willing to do a swap shop in our lives and our circumstances, and is willing to take the bad things and turn them into blessings, things that the devil meant for harm into good things for our lives, things that make us sad into things that brings joy. You might have an idea where I'm going to be reading from now, but if not, I'm going to be reading from Isaiah 61. I'm just going to read the first four verses. It's a really well-known scripture, this. So hopefully you'll already have some understanding of this one. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and they shall be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities and the desolations of many generations. Let's ask God to bless his word. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, and there it is for to encourage us, Lord, as to build us up. Lord, give us direction for our lives. I pray, Lord, that as we look closer into these scriptures, Lord, that you just speak to us, Lord, not my words, but your words. And Lord, just speak into our hearts, Lord, give us guidance and all the things we need from your word this morning. Amen. Amen. Well, these four verses really talk all about how God says he will restore people's lives, or he will turn people's lives around. And not only that, our spirit as well, and the places that we live. It helps sometimes to look at the setting that sort of the scriptures were written, and that's, you call it putting into context, I suppose. But the setting is that Jerusalem was in ruins through years of attack, and the Israelites, God's people, were in mourning, really. They weren't going to recover, because Israel was in ruins. Depression was rife, and maybe even God's people couldn't see a way back from this. The city was more or less leveled. And in some ways, you could liken it to what the world's going through at the moment, couldn't you? That, you know, sometimes we can't see a way back, that things have altered so much in the last sort of 18 months, I would call it, that people can't think there's a way back, and they think that what's happened to the world has decimated the church as well. Well, it hasn't, and it won't. And into this desolation, a miserable time for the Israelites, God's people, comes Isaiah with this prophecy of salvation and change and turnaround. What I like is that Isaiah starts with, God told me to tell you. So it's a message from God. He's confident that this is a prophetic word from God. The first thing that he says is, the Lord has anointed me to bring good tidings. So the first thing he says is that good news is coming. Even though the things look desolate, even though Jerusalem is laid in ruins, he says good news is coming. He also says that that he will heal the brokenhearted. Healing is coming. You know, these people that are brokenhearted. Liberty from bondage is coming. God is going to turn things around. God is going to bring comfort and joy, and restoration is coming. And that's the message that was given to these people in this desolate time. And it's the same message that God has given to us this morning and to our churches. I believe that God is saying today he's going to turn things around for you, his people. He's willing to swap you all those bad and negative things in your life, if there's some, for good things, joyful things, praise-inducing blessings, blessings that will make us and cause us to praise him. Beauty for ashes, it says, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Who knows the song? He gives me beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for spirit. It's an old one, isn't it? But it's a good one. And that's what we're sort of going to be looking at a little bit. And maybe Gary might be able to play that later. I don't know. I might have dropped him in it there. I don't know about you, but when you see those three things, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and the garments of praise for a spirit of heaviness, I think that that's a good swap by God, isn't it? All our negative things turned around to positive things by God, not by us, but by God. You know, every one of these four verses has a wealth of God's words and blessing in them. And if I started actually preaching from the first verse, we'd probably still be here tonight. But so I decided just to preach on verse 3. And this is the verse that I was really drawn to speak on. And I'll just read this verse again. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. This verse 3 is the one that deals with sort of restoration of your heart and mind. It's not exactly talking about body, it's talking about the things in our mind, the things in our head, our attitude, our mental and spiritual state of mind. I think that in life, if our thinking isn't right, then our spiritual walk probably won't be right either. So if our thinking towards God and how God thinks towards us isn't right, then I think that our walk probably won't be right as well. And the three transformations set out here are all about mental and spiritual health and a joy and a praise. So we're going to take a closer look at these. At the start of verse 3, it starts with, to console those who mourn in Zion. To console those who mourn in Zion. I just want to look at two words here. Like Gary did earlier, sometimes when you look at the actual Hebrew words, it means something completely different than what you thought. And that's where I found as I studied this for preaching, that there's some words in here which we accept to mean a certain thing and they mean something completely different in Hebrew. First of all, to console those who mourn in Zion. There's two words here that we need to look at closer. The first one is console. Now, when we think of this word console, we think about wiping away somebody's tears, don't we? Or sort of giving them a cuddle saying, come on, you know, things are going to get better. And that's sort of consoling somebody, isn't it? That maybe they're in grief and you think that helps to wipe away the tear and give them a cuddle. But the word used here for console literally means, it literally translates, appoint. So not actual what we thought at all, to lift up, to put something back in place, to restore something. So it means much more than just sort of putting the arm around and saying, come on, you can do it, or wiping away the tear, but it means actually restoring something to a place where it should be, you know. When you look at it like that, it puts a different meaning on this scripture, really. And the other word that I wanted to look at was Zion, which you've probably heard about a lot before. It literally means the place of God's blessing. In Jerusalem, there was the Mount Zion, God's hill. Jerusalem itself has been called Zion because God's presence was there. And the whole kingdom of God is now called Zion because God's presence is with it. So when this first line says to console those who mourn in Zion, it means to lift up and restore God's people to a place of blessing in God's kingdom. That's amazing, isn't it? And the good news is that it wasn't just for Israel, it's for you and for me as well today and for every day of our lives. You know, God specializes in putting his people back together and in a place of blessing and mental and spiritual health. He did it then, and he does it now, and he's always done it. I am so thankful because at times we so need that, don't we? We so need God to put us back together and, you know, and restore our thinking. I want to look at the three sort of transformations what are in this scripture. At this, the next part of verse 3 starts with that he gives us beauty for ashes. Now, this is one where I've always thought, a scripture that I've always linked with. He makes everything beautiful in his time. And sort of if I were preaching on this, I would have probably tried and linked that together, but I sort of got something new out of it this time as I was looking at it. At first glance, you may not quite understand this swap of beauty for ashes. It's all about our head, and our mind and our thoughts. This word here, beauty, is rightfully translated, and I mean, you might not have heard this before, but I found this out as I've been studying it, exquisite hearts. So when it says beauty for ashes, it says exquisite hearts for ashes. That is the swap. Now, when I think of exquisite ashes, I think about sort of when they get the lavish parades, you know, and they're wearing the big headdresses, and it's talking about them sort of things, and it's talking about when a bride is ready for a marriage, she wears a beautiful headdress, a tiara, or, you know, which brings beauty, and it's something that is done at a time when people are celebrating. It's a time for party hats, and that's what these are, hats of celebration, headdresses, as opposed to ashes on the head. You know, when Israelites were sad because of the loss of loved ones, maybe, or because of the loss of the home, or they needed something, they would put on sackcloth and ashes. Now, anybody who's had older sackcloth knows it's extremely itchy, don't you? Would you fancy wearing that as a T-shirt? I hate things that itch. But that's what they would do. But then they would put the sackcloth on, and then they would slap the ashes on the head, which is what they did. And then, so, like, you can understand the transformation of... He gives us beauty for ashes because he's replacing these ashes and this state of mind on these people to the state of mind of a beautiful hat and headdress that these people are in a celebration mode. So really God is saying through Isaiah, I'm going to put you on a celebration party hat instead of the depression of wearing and living in ashes. And maybe somebody today needs that sort of transformation. The second one is that it says that he'll give us the oil of joy for mourning. You know, over these last 18 months or so, there's been a lot of mourning gone off, haven't there? You know, and still is. And God is in the business of transforming that, not just for people in church, but the people in the world as well. And I believe that through this, when we come out of it all, God is going to do something magnificent in the church, you know. We're going to see something, a restoration like we've not had. I think we probably know that when the Bible talks about the oil of God, it means an anointing, a blessing being placed on our lives by God. And sometimes in Bible times, they actually just poured it all over them, didn't they? Started on the head and just let it all run down and it overflowed all over the body. And when it says here, the oil of joy, we can see it means an anointing from God to bring joy, a touch of God's Holy Spirit to bring joy into our lives. Not only a touch, but an overflowing of joy in our lives and also in our ministries for God and in our work for God in our Christian lives. I'm not talking about you here, but in my Christian life, I've seen people, Christians, that have let the joy get sucked out of them by worldly situations, by being too busy, by not keeping their eye on God. And the joy has just been sucked out of them by situations, sometimes maybe by their health, sometimes definitely by the enemy sometimes. And the God says, come and get my anointing for joy. this oil of joy that you can pour on us. Don't wallow in the ashes or mourning any longer. What we have to ask ourselves is that, have I lost my God-given joy? You know, have you lost your God-given joy? Are you as happy now as the day that you got saved? You know, is there that joy still in your heart? Maybe the people here this morning that need God's joy back, who need joy in their lives. I don't know if you probably realise, but when you see someone who is really joyful, and it's infectious, isn't it? You know, if you see somebody that laughs all the time and someone that's happy, you'd much rather spend time with them than someone that's sadly miserable and don't want to say anything. You know, joy is infectious. Happiness, happy people are infectious. People are drawn to them. You know, and as God anoints us with joy and makes us joyful people, people will be drawn to us and people will be drawn to him and people will be drawn into the church. We so need God's anointing of joy in our lives and in our churches. You know, we weren't designed to wallow in the ashes and in sadness and be miserable. God made us to praise, didn't he? He made us to have joy. He made us to have that relationship with him that caused blessing and joy. The third thing is garments of praise. He gives us garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Another awesome swapper, I think. First of all, the spirit of heaviness is, I think, discouragement. Being mentally and spiritually down and out. And I think that if you're honest, at some time in your Christian life, we've been there. You know, we've been in that place of discouragement. We've been in that place of spiritual heaviness. Let me tell you some of the things what discouragement does. Spiritually, it destroys our dreams. It destroys the things that we think we're going to do in the future by discouraging us. It destroys our vision for what we're going to do in the church and what we're going to do in our own lives and what we're going to do as Christians. It destroys our future plans. Discouragement can completely destroy our lives sometimes. Worst of all, discouragement can destroy our service for him if we let it. And God is saying here that I am going to take that discouragement that is destroying so much in our lives and I'm going to replace it with a spirit of praise and with a spirit of dancing. A total transformation that not only makes you praise and dance but also transforms the present situation that we find ourselves in. It also transforms our future situations. It transforms our visions and our families, and the way we think about our churches and the things that we're going to do. Let me ask you something else this morning. Has your garment of praise been stolen and replaced by discouragement or sadness or, I don't know? God wants to turn that all around for us. He doesn't want us to be like that. And maybe you need that this morning. At the end of verse 3, it says, as God does transform and restore us to the people that we should be, then we will become trees of righteousness. You know, and a big tree is pretty solid, isn't it? You know, it stands firm. Don't matter what the wind brings or what the weather does, that tree stands firm. And we need to be trees of righteousness, don't we? That God has planted, that God has pruned, that God has grown, that God has fed into the people and the churches that we were meant to be. You know, as God gives us beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning and the garments of praise instead of heaviness, as these transformations take place, we become and step into the full blessing of God on our hearts and lives, on our service and for our future and for our children and for our churches. And they will all be transformed by God as he does this. Amen. Let's pray.